So here at Kainga Bible Talks, we've been going through a series called Cornerstone, Images of the Jesus You Need. We're going through sort of word pictures that are used to describe the aspects or attributes of Jesus, looking at the richness of the ways that Jesus is portrayed in the Bible, and what these images tell us about who he is and what he does for undeserving people like us. So far, we've looked at the picture of Jesus being the cornerstone. That's literally the stone that's in the corner of a building, the rock that holds everything up. We've looked at Jesus as a vine, as a life giver that supports the branches that come off it. We've looked at Jesus as a doctor coming not to save those that think they're good enough, but rather those that know they're sick. And last week we looked at Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, the only one that can redeem us from our life of sin. So this week we're going to take a big step out. Okay, we're going to look at a big picture point of view. Jesus calls himself the Alpha and Omega, all right, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come. We're sort of zooming out of our life for a second and taking a look at Jesus' role from the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, right through to the end of the world. All right, we're talking on a different time scale here. So first off, who knows what Alpha and Omega are? They aren't just math symbols. Those of us engineers use them all too often to represent things. But Jesus isn't talking about math symbols. What is he talking about? What are Alpha and Omega? Any of the kids know? What is the word Alpha and Omega? Where did we get that from? You know, Jonathan? Of what are they? Letters of which alphabet? Is that our alphabet? It is. It's the Greek alphabet. Does anyone else know anything about those letters? That's pretty good. It's the first and the last one. That's right. I think the Greek alphabet's a little bit shorter, but it is the start and the end. So good, we've got little students of ancient Greek here. So the first letter and the last letter, the beginning and the end. And I think helpfully in the passage here, Jesus makes it abundantly clear what he's talking about. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So in case we thought we were just talking about Greek letters or math symbols, he makes it very clear that he's talking about the beginning and the end. I want to point out that some authors have suggested as well that perhaps this might have come from the fact that in Greek times, the Alpha and Omega was sometimes attributed to Zeus. And so perhaps this was a way that could mention that Jesus was bigger than Zeus, or, you know, for the Greeks to think on along that level as well. Now, when you have a beginning and an end, there's also a middle bit. All right, here we see that he is. All right, it's a bit, the is the middle bit, who was and who is to come. All right, so we have the Alpha, the Omega, and then there's this bit in the middle, right, which is sort of where we're at now. We're going to look through those three sections tonight. We'll look through the Alpha part, the Omega part, and then what does it mean for us now? Looking back and looking forward, what does that mean for us today? Alpha. So to say that Jesus is the Alpha, it's one of the most comprehensive statements we have in Scripture to show that Jesus is God. He is the beginning. He is uncreated. Nothing precedes him. This means that for millions and billions and trillions of unending years, God existed and he never had a beginning. Now, doesn't that just blow your mind for a second? You know, literally, we can't grasp what it means to not have a beginning. To such temporal beings or time-based beings, we're on this earth for such a short time that the idea of a God who was never created doesn't seem to make sense to us. We just can't seem to grasp it. Now, interestingly, there are some who, well, many throughout the generations, and even some today, who have suggested that Jesus was actually created, that he was actually the first creation of God. Now, that is definitely not the case. Jesus doesn't call himself the Beta and the Omega. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He was from the beginning to the end. Everything that was created for him, for by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So he wasn't just there from the beginning of time, but he created us as well. All things were created by him and for him. So this is the teaching, this is the doctrine, but what does that mean for us today? What is our application as we finish 2017, as we start a new year? Well, all our thinking needs to start with God, needs to start from God, not with us being the center. All right, we talked a fair bit about this morning. If you missed it, you can download it off our website. We need to be able to answer the question of what is our alpha, what is our beginning before we do anything in life. Did God create you, or are you just a jumble of atoms? Depending on what you believe, depending on what your alpha is, that thing that is your overwhelming view of creation and where the start is, that will determine how you face life, how you think, right? How you deal with your problems. Don't run away from this question. Some people think that Christianity is actually just a big escape, right? They call it an escapist religion, but it definitely isn't the case. Christianity is the truth, and everything else is actually escapism, all right? If you're running away from the question, or you don't want to answer the question of what your alpha is, of what the beginning is, of what guides your life, that's escapism. To say you don't know, to say that somehow there's meaning now, but I don't know how things are created, that's running away from the question. That's escapism. So Christians know what, or rather, who their alpha is, and they live life and make decisions accordingly. We just read that by Jesus all things were created, and all things were created for him. Our alpha is a God who was uncreated, who created a world for himself to give him glory. This is our alpha. When we understand who God is, then we have clarity for our life and the decisions that we need to make. Those that make Jesus their alpha can have meaning in life. They have a purpose. Our purpose becomes glorifying God in everything that we do. And again, we talked more about what that looks like this morning. And we do this by showing particularly the goodness of God to those around us in everything that we do. What about the Omega? Jesus is the Omega. Jesus is the last. The universe was built for Jesus. We fit into his universe. He doesn't fit into ours. This beginning and ending fence post, we fit into that. We fit into his universe. All of history is actually racing towards the Omega, to the end. Everything is made for him, and everything that is made points towards him. Everything is heading to the end, that final point in history when Christ will set up his kingdom for eternity. When we die, he does not. He will always just be for the rest of eternity. So what does that mean for us? What does Jesus being the Omega mean for us? What is the point? Jesus must be your point, the thing that your life is focused on, the thing that gives your life meaning. Omega things, things that if you don't have in your life has no meaning. Is your job your Omega? Is your family your Omega? Are your possessions your Omega? Are they the end that you're heading towards? Are they the end goals of your life? Better job, more possessions, happier family. Are these the things that give your life meaning? These things can be good things, but when they become the good thing, that is where the problem lies. Sometimes we can look at God and think of him as the way to get what we want, him as some kind of means to our end, to our Omega. We can think, I've tried so hard. I've served doing this. I help people. I show love. I care for people. And I ask God for one thing, and he won't give it to me. What's even the point of being a Christian? We can feel like this sometimes. What this shows us is that we're thinking of God as a means to our end, instead of God being the end. Jesus died for us, and he's standing there saying, serve me. Not to get anything in return, and not to try and earn it, but serve me for me. God is to be our amiga, the thing that we want, to deepen our relationship with him, to long to be with him for eternity. This is our amiga. This is the thing that should be our point, the thing that our life focuses on, not just using God to get to our end aims. We've been adopted into God's family if you know Jesus. What more do you need? We don't need to get things. We serve to get more of him, and all the rest is just bonus. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is a real life restructure. Seeing God as the Omega, as the thing that we're searching after, the thing that we're longing for, and he will supply all our needs. Not looking for our needs and trying to use God as a means to get there. It seems subtle, but it's an important difference. All other things become secondary. Tim Keller pointed out that unanswered prayers can often be a way that God shows us what our amiga is. Are we after God? Or are we trying to use God to get what we're after? Why is God not answering our prayers? Are we asking him this? Are we asking for things that give him glory? Are we using him like a magic genie that will grant us wishes? So let's talk about the middle. If God is your first and last, he has to be your middle. If God is your alpha, he's the one who created you. He gives you reason for living and gives you life purpose. If God is your amiga, if he and his kingdom are the things that you are seeking, longing after, then our life right now needs to be about him. For many, God isn't their alpha. They instead believe that we are just a jumble of atoms. That God isn't the amiga, that we will be dead and rotting in the grave. For those that believe in that, I challenge you how you can say fighting for justice, fighting against racism, fighting for equality, fighting for right and wrong, how are they things that we should be doing? If your alpha is random evolution and your amiga death and nothingness, have the guts to admit that the middle is meaningless as well. If your beginning is meaningless and the end is meaningless, then the middle is meaningless indeed. It doesn't matter. Your alpha and your amiga determine your purpose, your meaning. If, however, you believe that Christ is your alpha, the reason for being, your purpose, your creator, that is meaningful and gives meaning. If you believe that to rule and reign with Christ forever is the amiga, the end, the point, the thing that we're heading towards, that is meaningful and gives meaning. It gives meaning to every moment of day, every moment of every day in between. It gives purpose for every part of every day, every decision that we make. It allows us to make good resolutions. It allows us to make good life decisions. It allows us to do what we were created to do, to give glory to God in everything that we do, to shine God's light, to show people how amazing God is. God will last, nothing else will. You can lose your alphas. That job might disappear. The family might pass away. You might lose everything in a bushfire. But God is the alpha that was, that is, and is to come. Everything is heading towards that last day. And all will bow before the uncreated one, the alpha, and he will prove once again that he is the only one that you can trust in. And so I pray that if you haven't made him your alpha and omega, that you do it today. I'm going to leave it there.